the Victor Reader
screen? The screen, yes, yeah.
Like if I were to get an updated, you know, a new one, because mine, the battery, when you put it on, it's like 200 times you gotta wait for it to, ready to be working. I would get this Victor Trek thing?
Not necessarily. Oh. They still sell Victor Reader streams, but they also sell Victor Treks at the same time. It's about a 2-to-1 price differential.
So which one would you recommend for people?
Well, here's a question. Are you planning on using any of the GPS functionality?
Well, I have an iPhone, so that has a GPS.
Okay, so the answer probably is no then.
I saw the Victor Trek last summer at the ACB convention, and I have a Victor Reader stream, the second generation. I also have the first generation, and the Trek, it was heavier and a little bit fatter, so it didn't fit as easy in your pocket as the Reader Stream 2. It was similar size to the original Victor Reader Stream. I went to look at it, and I was thinking maybe I might buy it, but I wasn't impressed with the GPS capability. I didn't think it was that great. And like you, I used my iPhone with different apps for the GPS.
If I got my Victor Reader Stream thing, probably in 2012 or 2013 or something, so which generation is that?
My guess is it's probably going to cost you almost as much to repair it as it would be to get a new one.
I could get another Victor Stream.
Yes. They're about $350 or
depending on what's wrong with it. I did have my first generation one fixed because the charging port wasn't working, and they charged $90 just to send it to them to fix it.
I'd like to make a comment about the Trek. I know that they did do a recent update, and I hope that it vastly improved it, because I can honestly say that it was a terrible device. Up until this latest update. I bought a couple of them for various people at work, and we tried them. It took 5 minutes for it to connect sometimes. It was atrocious, an embarrassment, I would say.
During my day job, there have been people who have tried them, and their experience has been exactly what Jerry has said. For the most part, they've come back and not been satisfied. So
I use a keyboard with my phone. It's an Apple keyboard, but I don't think it matters. Normally, you know, it would always say quick nav on, quick nav off, and it doesn't do that anymore. At first, I thought I wasn't getting out of, you know, quick nav on. I think it's only the announcement. So I thought it was something with my keyboard, but then somebody else had the same problem. And does anybody know anything about this?
Have you unpaired it and then paired it again?
Absolutely. I tried everything. I you know, restarted my phone, and I will take another Apple keyboard and pair it. I'm pretty sure the same thing will happen, because it works on the Mac still fine, but not on the iOS, on my iPhone, and somebody was trying it on their iPad. That was the same thing. And to me, it is just kind of a mild annoyance, but I am now teaching some senior citizens, and they want to get back into typing and things like that, so it's...
You might want to call Apple Viz and ask them if they've had any, had anybody else call with this issue, because right. It may not be documented.
I just upgraded to Windows 10, and I'm using Chrome a lot more than IE. When I'm filling in a form on the screen, like name and address, when I get to the second field, Chrome reads me the data from the previous field. Like if I'm in the address field, it reads back the name I type. It's always one field behind, reading back the screen. I'm used to it now, so I know what to expect. It's a weird thing. Anybody else have this problem?
Is this happening on every website, or is this just like particular?
Yeah, pretty much every website.
What version of Joyce? I know you're a Joyce user.
The latest one, 2020, whatever it is.
2020.
The other question would be, how are you navigating from field to field?
Down and arrow.
Tab from one field to the next.
And this is with autoforms mode on or off?
I think all that stuff is off. I'm very manual.
If it's manual forms mode, Jerry's right that try tabbing. I think that may work.
Have you tried using a different browser?
Right now, I'm kind of stuck with Chrome because IE is not working properly, and I'm going to have to call Microsoft to get them to play with it.
Because you could try Firefox or the new Edge and see if it behaves better, at least for some of the sites.
Is the latest Firefox working? Because the last warning I got was not to use Firefox.
That was several years ago. Yeah, the new Firefox is fine. And the new Edge is very much almost identical to Chrome. So it's like there isn't any learning curve, really, for switching over.
And really, IE should be relegated to the 20th century where it belongs.
When I was at the Carroll Center, I was asking about web guidelines as kind of the standard for having accessible web pages. And I was curious as to what had been published. I just wondered whether anybody knew of any web guidelines as a recommendation for people to read and follow.
Maybe Tim or David, was that the WCG?
W3C. They're not for the faint of heart, so they're not the easiest things to get through.
The new standards are, you know, the WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. So if you Google WCAG, that's the gold standard website to go to. And, you know, some of it is, you know, written in layman's terms and some of it gets into the weeds. But those are the standards that are used now.
That will be standard as far as making a website accessible, which speaks nothing to usability. Because, yeah, we've seen websites that are fully accessible that are completely unusable. But
it is not a simple set of guidelines that you just do this and that. You really have to delve into it. It requires a strong desire to do it right. There are different, you can maybe, do a basically accessible and usable website. And then you can do one that complies with all of the rules and regulations, which is next to impossible to do. The other thing is, there is a lot out there on the web, a lot of like a set of items that you can look for on your website to make your own test of how accessible your website is. Are your images labeled properly? Are all graphics labeled in some way if they have any meaning? Can the website be used without a mouse? Can you effectively navigate with the keyboard? Things like that that the average web designer may or may not be aware of, but there is a lot out there. If you just do a Google search for web accessibility guidelines or advice, there's a ton of stuff out there.
Brian Hodgen, he's the gentleman who is behind creating JSAY, which are a bunch of JavaScripts, which allow to interact with things like Dragon and stuff like that. My question is about another product that he's had available for quite some time, Lacey, yeah. I'm seeing more and more older folks who are new to blindness, who have been computer users for quite a while, who have very limited resources to training, and they still want to maintain their basic functionality that they have been doing. And you ask them what that is, and invariably it's stuff like, I need to still email Joe Blow, I still need to browse the internet and maybe read a book or something online. I was looking at that Lacey series of scripts. It looks like there's a lot of hand-holding in that, and I just wondered if anyone had any personal experience, what your feelings about that are.
It's a program that adds a menu-driven overlay to commonly used tasks like email, browsing the web, things like that. It makes it easier for someone who hasn't been trained to use these apps. It works. He has a good reputation. He's written a lot of scripts and things over the years and seems to be highly regarded.
It gives you a consistent interface. Instead of let's go into Microsoft Word, go into Outlook, something like that, you're just picking choices from a menu and it's doing things off the menu. The people I'm thinking of have very limited access to training resources.
Do you know how expensive it is?
It's $100. However, the elephant in the room is it's a Scripps, so you need JAWS or Fusion. So it's $100 over $1,000, yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know what Fusion is, it used to be something different. It used to be a version of Zoom Text, but it's now a combination of JAWS and Zoom Text. But you can run either of those two programs independently. Once Fusion is installed, you have three options. You can run JAWS, you can run Zoom Text, or you can run the Fusion interface, which combines JAWS and Zoom Text so that you have good audio and also visual stuff. It works quite well. It uses some significant resources if you run both programs at the same time, but it's being used a lot. It seems to be doing well.
Jerry, does that also include magic?
There is no magic anymore. It's gone.
For low vision users, most people were using Zoomtext, at least here in the Northeast. And for blind users, JAWS was, you know, the big thing. At the Carroll Center, we often ran into the situation that you'd say, okay, Zoomtext isn't good enough for you anymore. You need to use JAWS now. A lot of low vision people didn't want to give up Zoomtext. The good thing is now that they are combined. But if you have Fusion, you can learn JAWS, but you don't have to give up Zoomtext for the situations where you want to use your vision.
That's a very good point.
From Zoomtext 11 on, they changed all of the commands, and they made them to be compatible if you're using JAWS at the same time. So if you're going from, say, Zoomtext Mac Reader to Fusion, you're not relearning your Zoomtext commands. And that's one of the reasons they did that. So
I was just wondering if other people experienced earlier this week having, you know, when you hit the Windows key for the search box, it totally misbehaving. Did other people have that happen to them?
And it did happen last week, too, is that I couldn't get the Windows key to do anything. Like if I did Windows D, Windows M. Yeah, then I did shut down, and I did another shut. And for some reason, just like after I did all the updates, it just went away. The problem. I don't know if that's related to what you're talking about. Or...
It might be. It seems to be fixed now. It's just like totally discombobulated.
Whatever it is, it went away, and it may just be related to something that Microsoft pushed out and got repaired.